to finish the weekend and to conclude with He is Coming Back, Reverend Jan Majera.
When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. If you keep your finger here and look at Colossians chapter 2. When He ascended, He went up on high, in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Colossians says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When the first thing that He did when He ascended was He led captivity captive, and He made a show of the fact that He now had authority over every principality, every power, every authority on earth. I want you to also keep your finger in Ephesians and just go to Psalm 68, because Ephesians 4 quotes this verse in Psalm, and it will really bless you. It's Psalm 69. Sorry, 68, and it's verse 18. And there's a part of this verse in Psalms that isn't in Ephesians, so you can see this. Verse 18, it says, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive. Okay, we got that part. Thou hast received gifts for men. Now, in Ephesians, it said, He gave gifts to men, right? Well, in order to give something, you have to receive it first, right? So when Jesus Christ ascended to the Father, God gave Him gifts to give, to bring back to men. Now, this is the purpose. Read the rest of Psalm 68, verse 18. Yea, for the rebellious also. That's everybody in the world, right? And this is the purpose, that He gave the gifts to Jesus Christ to give to men, that the Lord God might dwell among them. That's the purpose of the gift of Holy Spirit to every single believer, is that the Lord God might dwell among them. Then the second part of the gifts was in that phrase there, gifts for men. In the Hebrew, you can actually translate it gifts of men or in men. Part of the gift of Holy Spirit, when it's given to the body, is as apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, are that those people, it's not like they have some special anointing, you know, or they have an extra gift or something like that. It's that the grace on them gets energized to where their entire life becomes a gift to the body of Christ. Now go back to Ephesians and see it just once more here. He ascended, He showed and made a show openly that He had authority over all principalities and powers. He received gifts to bring back to men. The first gift that He gave is the gift of Holy Spirit to every single believer. That's in verse 7. See? Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Part of that gift is the full measure of all the power that is in Jesus Christ. That's what He brought back to give to men. Now go to verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why the apostles and prophets and teachers and everybody who's called to be a minister, it's their life that's the gift, so that the body can be built up. And that's what Katie was talking about so beautifully. It's the mystery that is where our power lies. And it says back in verse 10 there, you can see, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That word far above is really a wonderful word. It means through, like to the highest point. And the heavens there is the heavenlies. Now, where the principalities, powers, all the authorities of the earth and all of the authorities of the evil one is right above the earth. All right? When he ascended through that, far above it, so that now, look at Ephesians 1, verse 21. We read this earlier in the weekend as well, see? When he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above, that's the through, far above all principalities, powers, and all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. If all things are under his feet, then all things are under his feet. There are no principalities, powers, might, dominion, names, any great thing, even including the evil one. His name, it's a name, right? It's a power. He's a power. He is under Jesus Christ's feet. Okay, look at one more verse. Hebrews, right here, about this far above. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7:24. He went through the heavenlies, so that now everything is under his feet. Verse 24, chapter 7. But this man, he was a man, right? Because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's what he's doing up there. He sat down indicating that it was complete. It was done. But that didn't mean that he's not doing anything anymore. He still has authority over all principalities and powers, right? Okay? He is ever living as our high priest and the high priest to Israel as well to make intercession for them. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. There's that word again, far above. He is higher than the heavens. And it goes on and says he only needed to do that once. He went as the high priest into the Holy of Holies, presented himself before God and said, it is done. That's what he's doing today. He's our high priest. He's the head of the body, and all authority has been given to him. So when you say that you have Christ in you, that means that you have that same authority. That means that you have the right to make intercession for people. That means that we have the right to live together as a body, together in the victory that is because of his resurrection. Now, we haven't actually got our new body yet, but think about what kind of body it was. He walked through walls. He appeared. He could eat. He had bones and flesh. If you ever want to have fun sometimes, think about what the new body is going to be like. He went through the heavens, appeared before God, and he was back in a half an hour and sitting with the disciples and eating with them. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that sounds like a wonderful way to travel. Oh, remember what we were talking about, though, too, about how, you know, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Well, look at 1 Thessalonians. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we're going to be gathered together with him. And 1 Thessalonians, this is what probably one of my very favorite verses. In chapter 4, in verse 17, it says, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those who are dead. If we remain until Christ comes to gather us together, the dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive, we're changed, we meet him, and together, it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so from that point on, we're doing everything that he's going to be doing. So let's just look a little bit about what's going to be happening when it's time for him to come back. Look at Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be with him, right? All right, that means we get to go through the heavenlies. And we're going to be with him. Just like the adversary thought that he defeated Jesus Christ by killing him when he nailed him to that tree, he also, after the time when we're out of here and the Antichrist rises up, what happens is that the evil one thinks that he also won again because he surrounds Jerusalem with all his armies. The Antichrist has power over the entire world. He thinks that he's won again. But guess what? He also actually knows the word that Jesus Christ is going to come back, but he doesn't know when. This is the point, though, where it looks like the evil one is winning. This is Matthew 24. The armies are surrounding Jerusalem. Everything is happening. And verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That word sign there is the word for banner. And if you go back up to verse 27, you just got to picture this. I love this picture because this is the thing that gives us the strength to keep going day after day after day after day after day, looking for that prize, looking for the day, keeping our eyes on the goal, not looking back, but keeping on being able to focus on the goal. This is what's going to happen. The heaven, verse 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You see lightning come down when it's really the huge kind of lightning bolts. It comes down in the middle of the sky, and it's like the light just goes from east to west across the sky. That's what's going to happen to usher in the coming of Jesus Christ back to the earth. Now, go look at Revelation chapter 19. He's going to be coming in the clouds with power and great glory, and it's going to be like it just splits the sky open. And all the tribes of the earth are going to see it. It says, everyone on earth. I don't know how they're going to do it, but everybody on earth is going to be able to see it. And the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to mourn. They're going to go, oh my goodness, it is for real. He really is coming back. This is the description in Revelation 19, in verse 11. John got this vision. It must have been an incredible vision. And I saw heaven opened, lightning come down, the sky splits, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Because you know what? When he comes back again, he is going to make war. And he is going to defeat that evil one once and for all, for good and forever. And death, the last enemy, is going to be destroyed. Says verse 11, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Why? Because blood is the symbol of remission of sins. It's through the entire word from the very, very beginning of Genesis all the way through that it would take the shedding of blood to provide salvation for every single person. That's why he's wearing red. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. He's wearing red, but when we're part of the whole army behind him that's coming back with him, and we wear white. And that symbolizes that purity, the righteousness that we are now clothed with. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's a manuscript that talks about this. It's not like on his thigh, because if it was just on his thigh and he's riding a horse, how can you see that name? That's the banner that it was talking about in Matthew that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you say that phrase, that means that he is the greatest king and he is the greatest Lord. That's the banner. That's who we are going to be following. Now, remember the story of this skit? And they said, the angels came up to the disciples there and said, you know, why are you standing looking into heaven? So this same Jesus is going to come in like manner as you have seen him go. Look at Zechariah 14. Zechariah, Malachi. Zechariah 14. The beginning of Zechariah 14 describes what's happening, what I was telling you about how the armies are surrounding Jerusalem. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. And the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. The Antichrist and his army surrounds Jerusalem and besieges it so that the people are very oppressed. But get this, verse 3. Then shall the Lord, who's that? Jehovah, Lord. Go forth and fight against those nations. So it says, Jehovah Lord. That's who Jesus Christ is, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's who he's representing, right? He shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So every great battle that you know about in the Old Testament is going to be culminated in this battle right here. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. It shall split in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. When the angels told the disciples, you're going to see him come back exactly like he left. When we come back with him, we're on the horses, he comes down, and as soon as his foot touches the earth, it touches at the exact same place where he left. And at that point, the Mount of Olives splits in half and makes this huge valley so that that is where the last battle is fought and the enemy is completely defeated. Woo! There's so much more even after that that we get to see. Look at Ezekiel, just for a moment. It says we'll forever be with the Lord, right? So we're going to see that battle. We're going to see the enemy get thrown in the lake of fire. We're going to see all these awesome things come to pass. But the greatest thing that we're going to see after we get our new body is we're going to get to see Israel resurrected too. And to be able to see the resurrection personally. Like Bonnie was talking last night, we walk by faith and not by sight. We have never seen the Lord Jesus. We haven't seen somebody raised from the dead. But we will. We are actually going to see it. And that's what it describes in Ezekiel 37. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know, right? The verse, our whole theme verse of this weekend is to know him and to know the power of his resurrection. Israel is also going to know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and shall place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. God has spoken it. He has performed it. He has sent his Holy Spirit unto us, and we can walk in the power of it right now. So all the rest of the things that are in this book that talk about what's going to happen in the future are also going to come to pass because God said it, it's going to happen. I am the Lord, I will perform it. So we can be guaranteed that we are actually going to see people raised from the dead. And we will forever be with the Lord. I wanted to close with a song that I think summarizes a lot of what you can bring the screens down. Just bring the screens down first because I want to read the words to you and let you read them. I think that this song summarizes all of the things that we've talked about this weekend in a great way. I mean, it's not perfect. There's a couple lines that I'll talk to you about, but it's called In Christ Alone. And it's performed by a group called Avalon. And one of the biggest things that we tried to show through this entire teaching series is that if we forget the things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before, that's the point where you can start to walk in victory. And all of these men and women that we described in the appearances, they were just like us. They were real people, and they had real issues. And so they had to stand at some point and believe that what they were seeing, that he really was risen, was true. And they had to make that decision. And that's the same decision that we have to make too. And that's what almost every single one of the teachers got up here and said. Make a choice. Decide. Make a commitment today. Are you going to stand in the victory that's in Christ alone? Or are we just going to go back to our houses and go, okay, it's the same old, same old? I don't think that we're ever going to be the same after this weekend. I know I'm not. It's just done something in my heart that I can't even put into words yet. To be even more committed, to be even more sure that it's the love of Christ that we'll never be separated from, that there is no guilt, there's no fear, there's no confusion, there's nothing that could prevent me from being able to stand in Christ alone. So I wanted to read the words for you, and then I'll play you the song. It says, "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. I don't care if there's sorrow or grief. It can be turned to joy. I don't care if there's confusion or if even we're afraid and we're behind closed doors. It doesn't matter. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand." Why? Because he says that he'll never leave us, ever. "In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe." That's a line I would change. And just say, "He is the only begotten Son. He is the unique one." Yes, he took on flesh, but he was the unique Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? All right. "This gift of love and righteousness, he was scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, and here in the death of Christ I live." In the death of Christ I live, because we died with him. We were buried with him, but we also rose with him. And we ascended with him. And we are now seated next to the right hand of the throne of God through the heavens with him. "There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. He is mine, I am his. It will never, ever change. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny." And I would say, he commands all of me. That's the decision part, you know. That's where I say, yes, I'm willing to follow. I will follow you. I will serve you. I will do whatever it takes. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. We're going to be with him forever, right? Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Let's listen to this. It has a little bit of an introduction. I'm going to read just the beginning again so you get it while it's playing the introduction. "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground." we love you so much and we praise you right now. Thank you for sending your son. And thank you for giving his life as a ransom for ours. Thank you that it is truly in Christ alone that we can stand and walk in the power of everything that you've made available. And truly our hearts are burning within us. And we ask right now even for a further understanding as we go forth from this place, that we can know him more and know even greater what the power of his resurrection is in our lives. And we can walk in that surpassing victory because of all the love that you have given to us. We thank you that we truly can just stand and stand and stand. But, Father, we look for that day. We have it right there in front of our eyes right now. The goal of being able to see our Lord face to face and to be forever with you too. And we look forward to that day also when death will have no more authority and it will be the final enemy will be destroyed. And we can't wait. And we can't hardly contain ourselves to think that it could be now. It could be now or right now or right now. And in the meantime, we love you and praise you. And we'll join together with our family and our brothers and sisters to go tell the message that he is risen. And it's in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior that we pray. Amen.